Let's switch gears now. And Manjia Abidi, my question to you. One of the freedoms that was repressed by Ben Ali was lack of religious freedom. The most recent example was the Tunisian woman MP, Riyad Azaghal, whom stated the azan or the call to prayers from mosque was too loud. Also could not play it on Tunisians' television. And of course, the campaign against hijab. Can you tell us the important role that religion can play here in terms of binding people together?
Yeah, I think what Ben Ali did to the people, to their religion in particular, to their belief, was unbelievable. As you said, hijab has been banned for 23 years by law, 108 circle, this is its name. And all women, all Tunisian women, have been prevented, deprived of their of working, of studying, of sitting for exams. Sometimes women who were in labor couldn't were not admitted into hospital. So for us, women wearing hijab, the suffering has been tremendous. And now, we are looking forward to a new era, a new stage, a bright future for the Tunisian people. This is the message as to women wearing hijab, or for like, you know, this is the message for all women. We want to be free. To wear what we want. We want to be free to express ourselves. We don't want another police state to repress our religion or our belief, or tell us what to do, what to wear and not to wear.
Okay.
This is very important. Any for any president, for any government, the past, we have to completely break with the past. This is a new era, and we have to think about all the mistakes that have been done in the past and try not to do them again, because the people who have gone to the streets up and down the country and those who have broken the wall of fear and silence can come back to the streets and protest. We want freedom. We don't want anyone to impose anything on us, whether women or men. We don't want anything that is dictated on us. We want to express ourselves freely. We want to practice our beliefs freely.
Okay.
And we want real democracy. I say it again, we want real democracy and justice in our country.
Well, let me turn my attention to Kusai Kedri there. Because looking at another angle of this revolution, and we want to hone in on the response or lack of response from the West. In particular, let's look at France. I mean, France was the one who claimed that Ben Ali, well, there, in terms of his country, there was no human rights violations taking place, which in fact it was. I mean, in the past, they've dismissed those concerns. Tell us why there's been a muted response from them, and if you can expand quickly on also the lack of reaction by the United States, which was quick to accuse countries who are not their allies as violators of human rights while not critical of other dictatorial Arab regimes.
The former dictator, Mr. Ben Ali, was a very good client of France and by extension of the United States, because he, in the French psyche, at least in the French political spectrum, he corresponds to that leader, that Arab leader, who could fend off Europe, Western Europe, from the Islamic or Islamist peril, however you want to call it. So the fact that he has been the agitator against the Muslims and the Muslim movements in North Africa does reassure Westerners as having in Tunisia a good pawn they could, you know, deal with and compose with at their will. But the reality is that this man has tortured those people. He did not enter into a democratic debate with them. He did not give them voice. So the Europeans, and especially the French, have shown that they do not really much care about how he disposes of the Muslim opposition. All their interest was simply to pay attention to the fact that the exportation of the Islamic threat remains in North Africa. What happened in the French Parliament today was very interesting. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Michel Alliot-Marie, who is very well known to entertain very special relations with Tunisia, who has a house there, like many other French politicians, tried to justify her attitude last week when she said in public in the parliament that she would be in favor of sending French troops to support Mr. Ben Ali and the repression. Now she had the support of Prime Minister, but what she said today is, you have misinterpreted my discourse. All I needed to say was that we have to give a helping hand to avoid disorder. So you see, this is simply double speak. And the Tunisians, they are alert people. They took notice of that. And Mr. Sarkozy would have to take that into account in his future relationship with Tunisia. By extension, the American attitude, except for the laudatory speech by Mr. Obama, which we still can thank him for having taken that attitude, the American administration, as we've seen, is very different from its president. How effective they are and how real they are in their support of this revolution, this again remains to be seen.
Of course. As an imam of an Islamic center, Muhammad Al-Assi, how important a role does religion or Islam play in shaping Tunisia's future? Could it be the peace that binds the nation?
Well, absolutely. The bottom line, the religious or the ideological components of Islam are the deepest and the most authentic feelings of all the peoples in North Africa and all the peoples in the Muslim countries. There's a lot of parallels that we can draw between what is happening in Tunisia today and what happened in Iran 32 and 33 years ago, where one of the foremost clients of imperialism, namely the Shah of Iran, had his westernization programs run way ahead of the democratization programs, and it resulted eventually in the overthrow of the Ancien regime in Tehran and the beginning of a new chapter, an Islamic chapter in the history of that country. Those parallels you can glean right now in what is happening in Tunisia. Westernization has run way ahead of democratization in that country, but with the few droplets of democratization that went into the Tunisian public life, they managed right now to express themselves to the degree of overturning what was done in those years. I want to remind you that it was Ben Ali and it was Tunisia that housed or invited the Arabian interior ministers back at the beginning of the last decade, when this war on terror initiated by Washington in the West was set into motion. And they huddled there in Tunis, the capital, and they came back there in previous years to discuss how to treat this, what they called Islamic menace. It was Tunisia and only Tunisia that began to issue, listen to this, it began to issue magnetic identity cards for Muslims who want to go to the masjid to pray their salah, to pray their namaz. They needed an identity card, and they had to register their names.
Unfortunately, we've ran out of time. I apologize for coming in here. Obviously, lots more to talk about this. Just listening to the Imam of Washington, D.C. Islamic Center, Muhammad Al-Assi there. We heard from journalist Kusai Kedri from London and human rights activist Manjia Abidi there also from London. We appreciate all our guests for their comments. And, of course, you, the viewer, for watching. Your questions and comments are welcome here at newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mika Vitahoy, it's goodbye.